The last day of camp, one of the buses ran over one of the water mains, so there was a lot of camp without water. So you saw those guys that hadn't shaved that morning? I'm going to talk today briefly about sharing a testimony. In this passage here in Acts that Ticket read just a few moments ago, Paul is sharing his testimony. This is one of the first times that we see it recorded in Acts, and it's one of the fullest descriptions that he gives of his testimony. He does it several times here. Why on earth would Paul or anyone else share a testimony? The obvious answer is so that others can hear about Jesus. Paul here has been arrested and brought up before the people, and they ask for an explanation and accounting. And he starts talking. This is about Jesus. When we give a testimony, whether short or long, it's so people can hear about Jesus. It's also so that others can learn from our life experiences. It might be that our life experiences with God are the only way they're going to ever hear about Jesus or hear about Jesus in a way that they can understand, in a way that they connect with. When they read the Bible, it might be that they say, oh, that's just an ancient, archaic book. But when they hear you, and they hear you talking about your experiences with God, then it can be a time for them to connect with it so it can become their own reality. Also, when we share a testimony, it helps us put a caption on a picture. Were any of those pictures that you saw, pictures that you wondered, I wonder what the story was there? A lot of times, a picture is very helpful. Someone even said, what, a picture's worth how many words? 1,000 words. But sometimes a picture can be confusing or ambiguous. But as we add words to it, just a caption, it helps us understand the picture and understand what we're seeing. In a similar way, also, as we share a testimony, it helps us put a caption to our own experience. Sure, we have our experiences. Yes, we live our lives. But as we put them into words, as we offer some explanation to it, as we put it in a story, then we gain insight even into our own lives. We also get to see, as we share testimonies, God work in the lives of other people through us. And there's not much that's more joyful than seeing God work in others through us. When we compare Paul telling his testimony here to the other occasions when he shares his testimony, either in a full sense or in a partial sense, we learn some other things about what it means to share a testimony and how we can do it. The first thing that we see is that even when we cover the same ground, there is room for variety. If we compared Paul's telling here of his testimony with the trial before Festus and Agrippa, we'd see that he covers pretty much exactly the same territory, tells the same story, but yet there's a number of differences. So in the same way, when we give our testimony, we can tell the same story multiple times in different ways, highlighting different details, perhaps, as we connect with our particular audiences. One of the things we also see about testimony here as we look at Paul is that it includes events in our own lives. It's about our own experience of God's grace, mercy, power, wisdom, guidance, holiness. And these testimonies focus on God. They're not about us. It's not so that when people hear our testimony, they say, wow, that person is such an awesome person. I need to be just like them. The point of the testimony is to point people to Jesus so they might know who He is, so they might know who God is and what He's done. Testimonies are shared with people. Some audiences are receptive. Some audiences just love to hear you tell about your experience of God, and they're hungry for it so they can maybe have a similar experience themselves. Other audiences that you share with sometimes will be indifferent. They don't really care. They can take it or leave it. And sometimes even your audience will be hostile, like Paul's audience here, ready to haul him off and stone him at a moment's notice. Today's audience So in just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to share some words of testimony. Today's audience is encouraging and friendly. We're here to cheer you on. Thursday night at senior high camp, the camp I worked in, we had a talent show. And lots of kids got up and sang, mostly sang. And some of them were really good. And some of them weren't. But you know what? The group clapped for all of them. The group cheered for all of them. Why? Is it just because we're nice and don't want to hurt anybody's feelings? Well, that might be it for some people. But it's also the fact that all of these kids were bold enough to get up there and do it. And we wanted to encourage them. We wanted to say, yes, you're going the right direction. Now, if we might have had a chance to sit down with them, we might have said, you're going the right direction here. You're willing to get up. But here's some things you can work on for next time. This is a friendly audience, an encouraging audience. Another thing we see when we look at Paul is that sometimes it's appropriate to use a variety of strategies. One of the times when Paul shares his testimony, he's there talking to King Agrippa, and Agrippa says, "Do you expect to make me a Christian in such a short amount of time?" And Paul says, "Well, sure, I'd love to make you a Christian. I'd like for all of you to be just like me. Well, maybe except for these chains I'm wearing." Paul was capable of using humor in the same way we can use humor in our telling of our own stories. Sometimes humor, though, isn't appropriate. Sometimes our story is a little more tragic, a little more serious. But all these different styles can be entirely appropriate in sharing our testimony. Testimonies come in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. Some testimonies are the whole big picture of our life with God, how we were before we became Christians, how we came to faith in Christ, and what God's been doing in us ever since. Other times, our testimony is just a snapshot of a single event or a single thing we've learned with God. These testimonies can vary in length. They can be long, maybe even a whole book or series of books, or just a few sentences, just a few words. Since the story is primarily about God and not about you, there's also no reason to compete. I've been in some places before where people were sharing their testimony, and it seemed that they had to make their testimony even bigger and better than whatever came before them. What, you were a drug addict? Well, I sold drugs. What, you murdered 10 people? I murdered 50 people. And then God saved me. And there's this competition involved. There's no need to compete. Tell your story. Focus on Jesus. How do you prepare for giving a testimony? Well, the first thing to do for giving a testimony is living a life of trust in God. If you live a life that is outside of your own resources, knowledge, skills, and abilities, then you're going to find yourself in situations time and time again where you have to trust God and where you see God come through. That will give you material for testimonies. Also, pray. Pray, just say, "Lord, I want to share a word about you, a word that helps people connect with you. Show me what I can say. Put the words in my mouth." Another thing that helps people sometimes is write. Write it down. Some people think most clearly with a pen in their hand, or maybe a keyboard at their fingertips. And a final thing is just open your mouth. Get away from fear and timidity. Just speak. Speak as God is your judge, not the people listening to you. Now, before I open up the microphone to give you a chance to give a word of testimony, let me give you just a word for myself to give you an example of one way to do it. When I was in college, one of my addictions was reading science fiction. I got to the point where I was reading science fiction books all the time. God convicted me, though, that I was giving too much time to that and that I needed to give away my science fiction books and my collection of science fiction magazines, which included some first editions. And he didn't say sell them, he said give them away. So I gave them away. Now, the word that came to me wasn't that reading science fiction was evil. It wasn't that that was a message I needed to take to everyone else in the world. You need to stop reading science fiction. It's bad, it's evil, it's going to lead you away from God. The message for me was that putting your time and investment in this is not what I want you doing now. And to respond to God, I had to act on that. So that's just a brief example of how you can give a testimony of something you've learned from God. Is there someone that's willing to come up and give a testimony of something that's happened in your life or an experience with God, or maybe even those of you that were at camp and experienced at camp?
Do I need, I don't necessarily need the microphone.
Yes, you do.
I do.
Yeah, it'll record better. People okay. Hear it better.
I will say, I've had a rough life. I don't have to share all that. But I will say that my most recent and most impactful experience, surprisingly, was being at camp with all those 13 and 14-year-old kids and seeing them able to let go and worship the way they did. It was surprising how much I gained. And more than anything else, I gained the confidence to, I guess, put more time and energy into my relationship with Christ and take my Christianity more seriously, with seeing those kids that brave and that bold, and me being 32 years old and kind of teetering on whether or not I want to commit wholly. It kind of pushed me over to committing fully, because if they can do it, I know that there's no reason I shouldn't. So that was probably the most impactful thing I've had happen in a long time.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about something very recent that happened to me. And when I was younger, I taught at Vacation Bible School, but then, of course, then I went off into the career field and never had the opportunity to teach. So after about 30 years or 35 years, I got to help with Vacation Bible School this year, and it was with the first and second graders. And I knew every morning that when I would get up that these little bitty eyes would be looking at me, and they're going to be watching me. They're going to see, well, how does she act, or how is she? So every morning I would get in the car, and on my way to church, I would pray and say, God, please help me be Christ-like. I want to be kind and loving to all these children. And I took that away from Vacation Bible School, and now every morning I get up and say, God, please help me be kind, loving, and forgiving to everybody.
Amen. Is there another?
I'm like most people. I was raised in the church. I've always been a Christian. I did not have a blinding light like Paul had. But I've always been a Christian, and I've had wonderful people to help me along the way. My mother and father insisted I take piano lessons, and I had rather wash dishes or babysit. But I did, and I'm so thankful for that. And I played for church since I was 12, and I've played and directed choirs, and my music has been a blessing. And talk about blessings. Wasn't that a blessing, wonderful prelude this morning? We are blessed to have such wonderful musicians in this church, with Gloria and Murray and Carolyn and Linda and all the choir members. So I just want to give praise for all the musicians and all of the people in this church.
Amen.